Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poel.
I'm Tiffany Fikes.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti.
And I'm Wendy Papazan. You guys, I'm so excited. Yes! Oh my gosh. Today is the day. We have two of our new co-hosts on today, and we're going to do a deep dive into both of them. So welcome, Kimber. Welcome, Tiffany. We're just so happy you're here.
I'm so excited, too.
It's so fun getting
to... Me too. It's exciting.
Yes. And I'm so excited we're getting to do this together because we've known each other for... gosh, close to 10 years now outside of the podcast. And so we're really excited to be bringing their expertise and their dynamic and just their perspectives to the table, because we think from a listener perspective, and honestly, selfishly for me, because I want to learn from you both, the gifts that we're going to get from these two and joining the podcast with us is just incredible. So I'm so excited to have you both here.
Thanks. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah.
We're excited to be here.
Well, so we're going to do a deep dive into Tiffany's story and Kimber's story as well. And so Tiffany runs the Fikes Group out of Nashville, Tennessee. She's also kind of my inspiration in terms of achieving financial freedom at such a very young age. She owns multiple investment properties. She just bought her second home in New York City during COVID, and is the wife is a wife and the mother of two almost teenagers. Right? How old are your
12,
sons
about
now?
To be 13 in like 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you have a teenager.
Amazing.
You know, and Kimber has. If you want like to know who should run for president, it is Kimber Lovett-Minkiti, if we're going to be honest. That's always our... We're going to make it happen.
This happen for you, Kimber.
Campaign.
Wherever we
Congratulations.
Go.
I know, man.
The Kimber kickoff campaign.
She doesn't know it, but we announced it for... Yeah.
I know. I'm like...
You never say no, though.
For something.
We always say
no,
this. You never say no.
She hasn't said no yet. So. She shouldn't.
Yeah.
But we're telling you right now that if it happens, you heard it here first. But Kimber is one of these women that you're just kind of amazed at how she does it all. I mean, not only is she the mom to four incredible boys that are just absolutely darling and so dynamic, but she owns market centers. She has a real estate team. She has investment properties and developments. She serves on nonprofit boards and also on the boards for the real estate commission in her area. And it's just, it kind of blows me away that you do it all with grace and with poise and just such a cool, calm, and collected way. I honestly don't know how you do it all. and so we'll get to dive into some of that today. But it's just incredible what you have built and what you're continuing to build and the journey that you're on. So we're really excited you're here with us.
And also the mom of four beautiful boys.
That's true.
I think, and your oldest is a teenager now, right? Yeah.
We just crossed to 14. So 14
Cam
to
is kind of our baby.
So I'm like
amazing.
At every
well,
phase.
I met you guys. Your kids were so little.
Yeah.
So little.
He is. Little.
So yeah, Tiffany, let's start with you. I'd love to hear a little bit about your story. Tell me, let's start from birth. No, you're from Texas originally.
Yes, I am.
Right? And, you grew up in Texas in a smallish town in Texas.
One high school.
Okay. Small. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Nice. And how was that? You had a nice childhood as far as I can tell.
I had a great childhood. Grew up in, the advantage of a small town is, or the advantage and the disadvantage, you can be a big fish in a small pond. Like I was able to do a lot of things and have a lot of opportunities at a young age that gave me leadership skills. You know, like I played piano for my church when I was 12 because there was no one else to do it. And, you know, I started teaching piano when I was 14 because you could in a small town where it's, you know, in a bigger city, sometimes you don't get those opportunities because there's so many people to fill them, so many adults to fill them. So that was one of the huge advantages I had growing up in small town Texas.
I love that. And then from there, what happened?
So then I devastated everyone by going to film school instead of being a doctor or a lawyer or whatever all those people, you know, whatever the expectations of me were from that small town. And but went to the University of Texas, where I was somewhere around Seychelles, but we never met each other because there's 60,000
people there. In the same school. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You guys went to... Okay, how did I not know that? You guys went to UT at the same time?
I didn't know that either.
College of Communications.
Uh-huh. We were meant to be. We just didn't know it.
Wow. You probably passed each other in the hallways.
We were in a class together of 200 and just didn't know it. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So, went to film school. And graduated and actually used my degree, the degree they told me I would never actually use, and got in and they...
Who's this they, people, anyway?
They. The world, what the world told me. Mm-hmm. Which those people. The world didn't know who I was and they didn't realize that just simply by telling me it wouldn't work, just ensured that it would. So I got out of college and really went into production. I had my own, I made a business card and had a production company. Reuters hired me.
What was the name of it?
I was thinking about that today and I was like, I need to go find it. I remember, I think it was just Felton Productions. That was my maiden name. But I made the business card look like a VCR, a VHS tape label. That was what it looked like. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Like nobody would even know what that is now if I showed you my business card. They would have no idea. They're like, what is that? Why does it look like that? Oh yeah, it was cutting edge.
And then they were probably like, that's so cool. Oh. So creative.
So yeah, so I did that. I got one big client that kind of was my tent pole. They did 5 events throughout the year that could pay my basic bills. And then just kept looking for new projects and finding new opportunities and moved to Nashville I got married, moved to Nashville. We were actually trying to go to New York City. Nashville was halfway. Thought we'd stop for a little bit and then go on to New York because I wanted to work in television. And then fell in love with Nashville and career path went a completely different direction.
Because there wasn't a lot of television opportunities in Nashville.
They were dying. Yeah, it was an industry that was dying. And so the people there were scarcity minded and were in Austin, where I was at the time, it was very much like, oh, you're the next talent. Like, yes, we want to hire you. And in Nashville, the mentality was more like, you're going to take my job. No. So I worked, but we really, Joshua and I made a conscious decision. We want to do something else. We don't want our lives to go on two different tracks. We want to be going together in the same direction, professionally and personally. And so that was, I was married to a residential architect and I was a documentary filmmaker.
I love
and
that.
As much as I wish we were Chip and Joanna Gaines, we're like the opposite of Chip and Joanna Gaines. So those were never really going to cross. And I had made my own documentary, got funding, walked a red carpet, done all these things that I knew I could make a switch and not regret. Like, I loved my time in production and I could still...
I'm going to do it.
I could still go back and do it and be very happy. But the dream of what we wanted our life to look like was bigger than that. And so we created a new thing.
Well, and so tell me about this. What do you mean you were walking the red carpet?
Oh, so I got to walk a red carpet for a movie called Billy the Early Years because I was one of the, I was one of the producers for a few of the scenes and that sort of thing. That's, so, you know, all these things in film school that you're like, I want to walk, you know, I want to fund my project. I want to tell my story and, you know, do all those things. I want to rock on a red carpet and be a part of something on the big screen. Like I got to check all those boxes off in... let's see, 3 years, 4 years. And then I said, okay, well, what do I want my actual life to look like? Not what are these things that I want to do, but what is the life that I'm trying to create? And is this going to get me there? So
I love that. I love the intentionality Like that's one of your superpowers is your intentionality, even way back then. And just out of curiosity, because I know some people are wondering, what was your documentary about, Billy the Early Years?
Well, the Billy the Early Years was a feature. It wasn't a documentary. I just worked on that. I worked on a my documentary was I told the story of it was actually my brother who went to Haiti to help. And in actuality, he ended up breaking everything that he touched there and coming to realize that sometimes when you go to help, you're actually not a help. You know, like there's a book that When Helping Hurts. And so that was not my intention. I never intended for my brother to break wealth that he was going to help build. But it ended up, and that's what I love about documentaries.
It's
you really
definitely
have no
better
idea.
Than I
actually
could have
thought
done.
I was telling the story of a college kid who was going to go and try to find his sponsored child in Haiti. And then in reality, what I told was a story about When Helping Hurts and how sometimes you go thinking you're going to do good, and in reality, you're the one that's going to be changed, not the people that you are going to help. So
you still have it?
I do. It's
we should watch it.
We should.
Yeah.
It's not excellent, but it is good. So.
Like a screening.
I love that. Well, we'll stop before you get into real estate.
Yeah, Kimber, I'm curious where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in Newport News, Virginia. So it's sort of tidewater. It's where, like, close to Virginia Beach and Hampton and Williamsburg. So it's maybe people have been there. It's a little destination city. I thought I was growing up in a really big city until my later years. I came to Washington, D.C., and I was like, oh, this is a city. I was not in a little city. But we had five high schools, and and it was a cool town. My mom was an educator. My dad was the fire marshal. My granddad, like, integrated the police force, you know, in the generation before them. So it was just, it was a really cool place to grow up because all my family lived there, and everyone, you know, everyone knew us. So everyone knew everybody else, which was a really cool thing to grow up around.
Yeah, that is really cool. After high school, where did you go?
Yeah, so after high school, so like, right, mom's teacher, dad's in the fire department. And so I was like, well, there's no way I'm going into like any of those things. So I was like, I'm going to be a social worker. So, because, you know, that was complete departure from what everybody else had done in the human services world. And so I went to James Madison, which is also in Virginia. And yeah, but I went right in knowing as a like great high school senior that I was going to be a social worker. And people were like, okay. But they had a great bachelor of social work program. And so I got to jump right in and really like get my arms around what it meant to be a social worker and have that sort of side of impact and sort of see families that they're most vulnerable and do that from a really, really early age.
That's incredible that you knew right away that that was what you wanted to do starting out. Did you work in that after you graduated?
I did. So I went straight from undergrad to get a graduate degree. So in social work, you can kind of go lots of different directions, which is one of the things I loved about it. But you also, if you want to practice and do be a practitioner, you need to have a master's. So I went straight into a master's program at Bryn Mawr in Pennsylvania. And so that I did a double master's in social work and then law and social policy. Because I started to quickly get interested in, okay, what we have all these problems, but it's really the policies and how we treat people in our communities that has a big impact. So I did a double master's in that and came out and was ready to like hit the ground running. I came back to DC and really I hadn't lived in DC. I just spent the summers there, but I knew that like that was a place a lot of my family had sort of landed there on my mom's side and my dad's side. So come to DC and went right into a public charter school in probably one of the most impoverished parts of, you know, certainly the city and probably in some ways to the country, and went right into to school. And I was like, my family was like, are you crazy? Like, what are you doing? We've done everything to like not have to like have anyone in our family have to experience this. And you're like at 22, like charging right in the middle of the storm.
What was that like coming from the background that you came from, jumping into that willfully? Like, what did that do for your perspective?
I think it's a great question. I mean, I think it gives you a different perspective on both what you've had in terms of like the opportunities and access, and then also just how like individually we can impact people's lives and sort of see a different experience. It amazed me that like the students that I had an opportunity to work with like had never left, and DC is divided into 8 wards. And like, so they grew up in this one ward of the city, and they would literally like high school students but had never left the ward, much less like the city. And so just seeing like, right, the charter school, I was called Thurgood Marshall. So it was a charter school started by a group of Georgetown law students. And so they were, a lot of what they did was just like taking them into like Northwest and taking them into law firms and taking, just creating that exposure so that they could kind of be the first in their families to have that impact. So for me, that was a big, it was a big force of like how we can create change.
That's really cool, Kimber. And then How did you jump from there to real estate? What happened in between there?
I know a lot of times it involves a boy, piece, right?
Yeah.
So I meet this guy who's like also in the nonprofit world. And so we actually meet in a nonprofit working together to help low-income high school seniors get into college as first generation. And so he was like, I have this great idea. I think you could really impact, you know, he have a bigger impact through real estate. Like, I'm going to get my real estate license. So Bo gets his license in 2004 and really jumps in, sort of rookie end of the year, 30 under 30. And so, you know, fast forward a couple of years, we get married. And he's like, I think, you know, at this time we're like, I'm 26, he's 28. And he's like, I think we should,
hey, why not?
2 years into the business, we should start a brokerage.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Why not? That sounds like a great idea. Oh, we should just start. We should get a franchise of a company no one's ever heard of in our town. Sounds like a great idea. And I'm like, oh, it's genius. It's a great idea. So we, the launch of Keller Williams in 2006 in DC, the very first KW in Washington, DC. And we had a sales business that he had had for 2 years. So I'm a dual, at this point, I get licensed in 2007 as a dual career agent. So he's going to run the brokerage and I'm going to jump in and, lead the sales business, which was me at the time, like a marketing admin. And so I was like, this is a great idea. Part of that was because one of the ways, you know, we'd started to do a little bit of just, I call it development, but it was really buying and renovating houses. And so it was actually Bo's mom who homeschooled her 4 kids. And she was like, this sounds like a great idea, but like, how does the business make any money? And Bo was like, oh, well, it makes its money by the sales team. And she was like, but you're going to go run this brokerage? Like, and so how's that going to work? And he's like, well, we're not going to have a sales team. And so I'm like, well, that's not going to work because I'm a social worker at this point, right? Like, so how's that going to happen? So in my mind, it was like, I'm just going to dive into this. As Tiffany said, like I felt like I'd had a big impact at a young age in the social work space. And so I was like, well, let me dive into what was going to be the family business for a few years. And I can always dive back to social work and dive into that space. So that's sort of how it started. And then I looked up and it was like, here
that's
we are.
Amazing. Right? That's amazing. Like, well, and honestly, I look at you both and it's so remarkable. And you both achieved so much success and you've been so intentional about everything you've done. It's interesting to look up. And what I also think is interesting about both of you is that you're at a point in your life where you're both kind of thinking about what's next for you. So I'd love to, I mean, I know we probably want to do a deep dive into the whole real estate part of it, but what I do think is really interesting is that you guys bring the perspective of, hey, we've had a lot of success at a young age and here we are, you're both still in your 40s and you're like, what's next? So I'm just curious, Tiffany, I know you're thinking about it a lot. So I'd love for you to share with our listeners where you're at and where you think you're going.
Yeah. We're going to be probably unpacking that live on the podcast because I will say I have no idea exactly what's next. And over the last, 10 years within, got into real estate. We can learn about that story later. But within 4 years, I had 2 kids and a $1 million business. And everybody always tells me I'm so intentional, but I also find I find myself just putting my head down and succeeding at whatever is put in front of me. But I jerk myself out after a few years and say wait, what's going on here? Is this what we really want to be doing? And it happened with production. It happened with real estate too, where I realized, oh my gosh, I'm chasing somebody else's version of success right now. Or I've actually achieved somebody else's version of success. Why am I miserable? And it made me do a really deep dive over the last 5 years about identity. Like, my business had become my identity. And if my business was down, I felt like I was failing, even though I was winning. And just slowly unraveling that and realizing that Tiffany Fikes is more than Fikes Realty Group and Fikes Architecture and all the other businesses that we're a part of. And who is Tiffany? Like, what was she created to be? And what was she created to do? And how is she different than everybody else? And so the thing that I know right now is I am a creator of experience. That's what I've always done. It's what I did in documentary. It's how I got into, I mean, even in real estate, like the first thing I did was I threw a launch party, and I would always tell the stories of our transactions. They weren't transactions. They were stories to me. And so learning that piece of it, of who I am, and slowly releasing my identity and value from the production of my business has, after 4 years of therapy and work and, you know, crying and all of those things, has me at a place where I can say, I don't know, what is it? And the one thing that I know for certain, though, based on where our family is I've got 5 years left with these kids at my house, and I don't want to miss a day of it. And so what I do know is that creativeness and that creation of experience is going to be pointed towards some boys for a few years. And I know it will bleed out to other things as well. And what is building that part of my life look like? Because not that I neglected it, but what if they get my creativity? What if they get my experience for a little bit? And I truly treat my business like a business that is functioning and working. And if I don't think too highly of myself, like if I remove myself, is it really going to fail? Is it really going to fall apart? And I'm finding the answers, no. Like, when you've created something with a good foundation and on good models that have good people, sometimes I won't talk for anyone else, but sometimes I found myself thinking a little too highly of my input and my energy and all of that in the business. And so I'm learning how to balance that. And I am, you know, I may be starting a middle school. I may be taking my kids around the world. I literally have no idea. You cannot be catching me at a less knowing time right now.
I love it.
That's what I do know is experiences will be created through me, because that is just who I am and what I do. So.
Well, I love that. And thank you for your honesty and authenticity and your vulnerability there. And for our listeners, you know, this is the gift that you get. You know, when we talk about building a big business and an even bigger life, this is what happens when you build a business. You know, what Tiffany's talking about is like, hey, I've created a life for myself. I've created a business that will allow me to step away and take some time out and really think about what I want for the next stage of my life. And that's life. You know, life isn't, you'll definitely meet some people who've been living the same life for the past 50 years. But in my world, you know, it's almost like everything comes in sevens sometimes. You know, you've got something happens for 7 years, and then maybe you move on to this next stage of your life, and then maybe you move on to the next stage of your life. And so to have set yourself up financially to allow yourself to have that creativity and room to explore is completely remarkable. So,
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
So what about you, Kimber?
It's beautiful. I know. I mean, as I listen to Tiffany, while we bring very different perspectives, I think we're sort of in a season that's that has a lot of similarities in terms of, you know, we've built these, I've had a beautiful opportunity to, you know, go from one market center to five market centers with 1,000 agents at our Keller Williams Capital Properties franchise, but then also 4 years ago switch into the regional director seat and sort of have an opportunity to kind of get a front row C-suite view into how brokerages operate, right? In the largest brokerage in the country, right? In the KW space. And so that has been like just, I feel like I've been on a rocket ship of like leadership development and growth. And to be able to kind of have an opportunity to like pause and reflect also on like what's the world? Like I'm definitely with like Tiffany, I've a lot of times been like, well, I'm doing this because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, and I've had some people challenge me, right? Like in therapy rooms and certain mastermind rooms and in some of this room, right? Of certainly the Her Best Life space to say, well, who is the they? Mm-hmm. Like, who are you doing this for? And who's saying that you have to do these things? And I think sometimes I felt like as certainly as a Black female too, like, okay, well, I've got to like punch through the ceiling because people haven't done it yet.
You really did.
And so that I think is important that people see people that look like them and creating those opportunities, but also like, where does that leave me right in the space and the family and the boys that, that I want to be creating. And so I'm saying no to some things I haven't said no to before, and I'm not refilling them, which has been like a really big growth step for me. And the world is often like, well, what are you doing? So what's next? What's next? That's like the biggest question I get.
You're besides like, I'm done girl, right? We are
what's
done.
Next? Those are my two biggest questions.
You did your best effort there.
I am done you really with did. That. I
you really did.
Four amazing, yeah. beautiful
you,
boys for
you
the world.
100% your best
Thank
effort.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I went for it, and he's amazing, and he's a he today, right? So that's it, right? And so I'm really like pausing and listening. I think one of the themes I see in like amazing leaders is that they create space and time to think and reflect and listen to themselves, right? Like listen to what the voice inside of you is saying, not the voice inside of everyone or from everyone else. So that has for me looked like a lot of journaling, a lot of reflecting, and creating an opening for there to be space. Because I don't feel like, you know, for the last few years I've had that. We've been on an amazing rocket ship that's built a beautiful business and life. And I feel like I'm getting an opportunity to pause and take a breath and before I pick another path, which is kind of cool because I feel like I'll be living that as well with Tiffany live and in color on this
one. Yeah. I think that's an exciting part about the two of you is that it's not like you're at a destination and you're like, look at what I have achieved and clap for me type of a situation. You're in a, yes, we have built these really incredible, massive things and there's still more. And that's such a theme of what we strive for with the podcast is this pursuit of the big life and watching you all unfold that in real time with us is going to be a real gift that we get to go on with you. So I'm super pumped about that. If you think about like getting to transition into these seasons where you're paying attention to this, was there a period before you decided to maybe to Kimber's point, pause, or to Tiffany's point, like define your level of success? Was there a point you just kind of wanted to quit and be like, forget all this, I'm just going to scrap it? Like, did you hit a wall before you got through?
Constant?
What was that like?
I mean, like, is that not the right answer? Is
that's
it not every
hit.
Day?
I just say all the time, right?
Yes.
Well, I think when you actually like peek behind the curtain, you see that like, everybody's, it's messy everywhere. And I think that's why what you guys, even just the last 2 years of the podcast, like being able to peek behind this idea that like we, especially I think in the real estate space and as women, it looks so perfect. You're like, oh my God, that person has it all figured out. And the answer is like, you don't. And then you can be like, embrace all the gifts of the imperfections of it, right? That those are where the lessons are coming in. But I think we are taught, like we look up and you have like this, you know, social media like world that says everything looks perfect all the time. Not the 1,000 pictures it took to get my boys to like halfway look at the camera and smile like, that I posted this morning.
Yeah.
The not giving up is the only difference between us and anyone else. Like everyone, employee, business owner wants to quit at some point and their choice to do it or to not is the difference. And sometimes quitting is fine. Like stopping is fine. And it's the why. And why are you doing it? Why are you still pushing here? And for me, that was one of the big questions is, I didn't quit for a long time for the wrong reason. And then when I realized why I was doing it was for the they that doesn't exist, then I realized, okay, that's what you quit. That I'm going to quit doing it for they. Mm. I'm going to do it for me, or I'm not going to do it and somebody else is. And I think that's the important part, because I was kind of, in my mind, quitting was very bad. I'm loyal. I am resilient. I'm competitive. I have a high pain threshold, apparently.
Competitive?
You know, like,
we all do.
I can, anybody, any business owner has a high threshold for pain and doing things that are hard. And realizing maybe you don't have to do the hard thing. Like, I had a counselor just this last week that I was talking to. We were doing something and I was like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. So I'll let me lean in over there. And she's like, you don't have to pick the hard, Tiffany. Like, go over to where it's easy for just a second. And why don't you live there for a second? So I'm not saying that the going and not giving up is always the right thing, but realizing the why and deciding for yourself when's the right time to quit. And 99% of the time, it's not the right time, but there are times.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Or go a different direction, too, right? Like, like sometimes we tell ourselves that it was quitting, but it was actually like backing up and coming, like you're forcing against the brick wall that's actually not going to move. And if you just looked at it from a different way, you could actually tackle the problem. Like, what are you actually trying to solve? And is it you're quitting an activity or a behavior or a mind, like something that's actually not serving you, to actually still get, it's back to that why, right? Well, why are you doing this? And is this the only end to get to the result that you want?
Well, and you have to have that reflection time to really be able to do that, because if you're going a million miles an hour all the time, you're just going to think that's the norm of going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually had some clients that moved from New York City to Austin, and they were going a million miles an hour in New York. And when they got to Austin, their life slowed down a lot, and they realized they just weren't in love with each other anymore, and they divorced. But they literally didn't notice because they were just going a million miles an hour. And so what you're saying, both of you, is like, hey, you know what? You've built businesses, you set yourself up for success so that you can take a breath and really think about it. But you actually don't have to do that in order to do what these guys are doing. You know, you can actually look around and see what the next right path is too. So super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah.
I think your rooms impact that too. And I think about Her Best Life and the work that both we've done in our smaller group, but have really brought to the world in the larger group, like creating a space for me, this circle and that community has been the game changer. Give myself permission to not have to feel like I have to do it all and run a million miles an hour and juggle all the balls. I mean, Tiffany is like the best gift to me to say, like, you know, Kimber, you don't have to cook the dinner to enjoy it with your boys. Like, and I was like, oh, really? Like there's people that do that.
Yeah.
And like, what a gift, right? Because you get to actually then say, well, what is it that you enjoy? And so it's what I think is so powerful about this community.
Well, it's the they. Like, make sure the they that you're listening to is a group that cares about you. Let your circle be the they, because they will ask you the good questions and they will give you the perspective that sometimes you don't even see. Like, I know for sure my path would be different if I didn't have this group of women speaking into my life and saying, do you even see this? And to Wendy's point, no, because I'm running 1,000 miles an hour. I don't see anything except things flying past me. and my life is forever changed because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just we've seen that in so many aspects of our lives, whether it's giving each other permission to go bigger, whether it's giving permission to go in a different direction, whether it's giving permission to if you follow wealth building, you know, do real estate investing, or whether it's giving us permission to just say, hey, where you're at is okay. And that's good. And you can take a step sideways and see what's in front of you. Because sometimes when you're sort of marching on this path, you have to slow down, take a step off the path and really see what's around you, in order to really take advantage of it. So,
I think about growing up, we used to spend summers in Colorado, And there's this, like, we were back in the middle of the national forest, like, we'll just call it family camp because there was no one else around. And we were, like, at the base of this whole mountain range, like, that circled us. And we would at least once a week take a hike and go up. It was probably about, like, a 2,000 foot to the summit, like, from where we were to the base to the summit from where we were at. And along, like, the first couple times we did it, we would just go straight up. Like, you know, you go up, stop, but you would just keep trudging up. And as I got older, we would go up, hike for 20 or 30 minutes, stop, have a picnic lunch and look around. Then go up, stop, have a picnic and look around. And what we discovered with that was that the view is so different when you take the break and look at the different summits of what that looks like versus just getting to the peak. Your muscle fatigue looks different. Your energy looks different. You find herds of elk and you find hidden waterfalls and you find all of these things you weren't expecting on the way to the summit when you take your time to stop and really breathe and look and maybe plan the extra 30 minutes along the way. And I think about that as such a great metaphor for the white space that we need when we're summiting different challenges or different growth areas, because we'd miss all these really magical, beautiful things if we don't stop for that white space, which I think as doers and achievers and drivers and leaders, we are so conditioned to do. And I think that's a gift you all have given me is to take those white spaces and those breaks to enjoy the journey and the process a lot more than I was when we first started getting together. So I'm very thankful for that.
I love that. And what I love about all of us is you can take those breaks and you can still look around and know that you've had a level of success that most people would find remarkable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys, today's been amazing. I'm so excited for our new co-hosts. I know they're going to continue to share so many gold nuggets, continue to be authentic and vulnerable and share everything that's going on inside of them. And I personally took a lot away from this episode. I took away that you can't be somebody else's version of success, right? Whoever they are, that's not you. Your identity is not your business. I thought that was so smart, Tiffany. You need to listen to that voice inside of you.
The not giving up is the difference between me and everybody else. I loved that.
Yes, I absolutely love that. And then last but not least, but it's messy everywhere. You know, it's life is about failure and growth. And it's our journey as a human being to go through all that. And sometimes you got to just take a step off the path, take a look around and see what's in front of you in order to achieve your big life. So thank you so much, guys, for being here. And as always, go out and build a big business and even bigger life. Bye, y'all.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.